You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, this has been good. I just started a series on Wednesday night. Didn't really plan on it, but a couple weeks ago I taught on salvation, make it personal, you know. And then I just got a little fire burning there, and I thought, man, I'm going to stay with it. And last week we taught on saved by grace, and went through scriptures concerning being saved by grace, not by works. And so tonight I just want to stay with that. In fact, we may stay with this for a while on Wednesday nights. Been teaching on finances on Sunday morning, and Wednesday nights, a couple weeks ago, we started teaching on salvation. And basically when I say salvation, I'm talking about eternal life, being born again. Actually, the word salvation entails more than just that, and we will get into that later in the series. But mainly I'm just talking about being born again, being saved, going to heaven, becoming a Christian. What happens when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? I know that's simplistic, you know, but it's what we're about. Yeah. I mean, even the testimonies we hear tonight, everybody's rejoicing and excited because someone accepted Jesus. Amen. And received salvation. Right. I mean, there's nothing ever greater that's going to happen to you in your life than that right there. With all that God offers beyond that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, peace, all the answered prayers, nothing tops salvation. I mean, that's it. That's as good as it gets right there. And that's why Jesus came. He came that we might be saved. He came in the world not to condemn the world, the Bible says, but the world through Him might be saved. Hallelujah. That was His whole purpose and intent, was to die for our sins. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I want to talk about the new birth. Everybody say new birth.
New birth.
Everybody say born again.
Born again.
I remember one time, and you know, you use these terms out of the Bible many times, and people categorizing, labeling, opinion, they'll think you're from a certain denomination or church or whatever because you use that term. And we thank God for churches that use that term because it's a Bible term. But I remember one morning, I had a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door on a Saturday morning when I was sleeping in. And this was when I was living in Houston, actually Pasadena at that time. And these two Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on the door, and I came to the door and opened it up, and there they were. It was an older guy and a younger guy, and I guess the older guy was training the younger guy. And they said something about, you know, are you aware of a kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness? And they came off with a very religious, you know, intro, you know, to their quote-unquote witnessing. And I said, you know, guys, I said, I know what you are. You're Jehovah's Witnesses, and, you know, I'm saved. I know Jesus is Lord and Savior. I'm born again. I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. I got what you need. I don't need what you got. You don't have anything. And I said, now let me share with you something. And so I said, you know, let me ask you something. Have you been born again? Have you been born again by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And the older guy says, you're a Baptist, aren't you? And I said, well, no, I'm not. I said, but that's not a Baptist term. That's a Bible term. I said, thank God for Baptists. I'm not one, but I'm for Baptists. And so I grabbed his Bible out of his hand and just flipped over there and showed him, you know, where Jesus said, you must be born again. And then I said, do you have eternal life? And he said, well, we don't know that. I said, well, now, wait a minute now. And I went over to 1 John 5:13, where it says, these things were written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I said, see, I know I have eternal life because I believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you? Do you know that you have eternal life? And so we had this conversation. I never will forget the guy, he was just didn't know what to say. And this younger guy was listening, and the older guy was getting nervous because he was listening to me, and I was showing him Scripture and making it real plain. They came to witness to me, and I was witnessing to them. And the older guy said, now, sir, you have to appreciate our sincerity and our dedication. And I mean, it must have been the Holy Ghost. Because I said, sir, you are sincerely wrong. You're dedicated to a lie. Sincerity doesn't get you to heaven, and dedication doesn't get you to heaven if you're not dedicated to the truth. Amen? If you're not sincere about the truth. Well, anyway, I didn't make any headway, to my knowledge, there that day, but I did witness to them, and who knows? Maybe one of them got saved later. Who knows? But the term born again, I get tickled because they thought that was a Baptist term, yet that was a Bible term. Hey, everybody say, thank God for Baptists.
Thank God.
We're for Baptists. Praise God. I mean, they got a great teaching on eternal life because it's right out of the Bible, and they teach like the Romans road, you know, where you talk about all of sin comes short of glory of God, the gift of God's eternal life, and then goes into Romans 10:9 on how to be saved. Awesome stuff. But let's look at the words of Jesus concerning this matter of the new birth or born again. What does that mean? I mean, come on. You know, a lot of times we say things to people, I don't know what we're talking about. You know, you walk up to somebody that's lost and never been in church, don't know anything about the Bible, and you say, have you been born again? They're going, what? Or you say, are you a new covenant person? They're going, what covenant? What are you talking about? You know, man, redemption. They're going, redemption, what? Have we got coupons? We're trying to sell some coupons here. A lot of times we have all these religious sayings down because we're raised in church or we've been in church. But sometimes when we're talking to people, they don't relate. They don't know the shop talk. That's why I always like to keep it real simple when I'm talking to somebody. Even when I give an invitation here in the church, you might notice I'll say things like, you know, have you ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you have eternal life? If you died right now, do you know if you'd go to heaven? Are you saved? I'll use several terms. Maybe something will grab them. You know, maybe something they'll relate to. Because it may just throw them off. The first term, somebody's never been in church, they're having to learn the lingo. We speak Christianess or Christianese or whatever you want to call it. But not everybody else does. But this is interesting. This is a term that Jesus used. And it's interesting how it came up. In the third chapter of John chapter 3, it says, then there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. It's a prominent man, a teacher of the Jews, a ruler. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, now a lot of people read into this that he was hiding. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. We could speculate that he was trying to avoid the crowds and go to Jesus without anybody knowing about it. It may be that that was the closest he could get to Jesus was at night. I don't know. But whatever the case, he went to Jesus. Give him that. Come on. You know, he went there. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles or signs that you do unless God is with him. Boy, pretty observant. Pretty perceptive, too. This day and age, it's almost the opposite of that. Many churches, when you talk about miracle signs and wonders, they'll say you're of the devil. And yet this man had enough sense to realize that miracle signs and wonders, healings, were of God. And that when he saw them on Jesus, he recognized that as being from God. Now, not every religious leader had that perception, because many accused him of being of the devil. They even accused Jesus of casting out devils by devils. So there were those Pharisaical people then, back then, that were against Jesus, but there were some religious leaders that recognized, my goodness, how could he do all these miracles if he wasn't from God? So, miracle signs and wonders is evidence of God's presence. Hallelujah. We ought to have more of them, not less, in the church. We need miracles. We need signs and wonders. And it says this, third verse, Jesus answered and said to him, he didn't comment on what he said, the statement that he made. He went cut right to the chase, as we say. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, or verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. See, he was seeing the effects of it through the miracle signs and wonders, but he would never see the kingdom unless he was born again. He might see the effects of the kingdom through the miracle signs and wonders, but hey, I want to tell you, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again to see it. And Nicodemus, thinking in the natural, kind of not understanding the lingo maybe, like a lot of people we talk to and witness to and minister to, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, Jesus is talking about a different kind of birth. Nicodemus is thinking being born again in the same sense of being born into this earth. But the problem with that, of course, is that there is no such thing as being born a second time in the natural. Reincarnation is not a biblical doctrine. We're not Hindus, we're Christians. Are you with me? Jesus does not advocate reincarnation, does not believe in it, does not teach it. The Bible does not teach it. You're not going to get another shot at this deal. You only got one shot at this deal. Hebrews 9:27 says it's the point a man wants to die, then the judgment. So what's he talking about? Goodness gracious, what in the world does he mean? What's he talking about, and how does this happen? I mean, that's a good two questions in one. You know, what kind of birth is he talking about, and how in the world do we attain that kind of birth? Well, obviously, he's not talking about natural birth. That wouldn't help you anyway. In fact, if God were to afford you the ability to be born in the natural 1,000 times, you'd still be born in sin every time you were born into this earth.
Right.
See, the problem with us is that we're born in sin. That's the whole problem. What Jesus came to fix was not our bad deeds. He didn't come to make us nicer, kinder. Hopefully we are kinder, nicer. Hopefully we're doing better things than we used to do. But see, that really wasn't our problem. Our problem wasn't what we were doing. Our problem was who we were. Now that's a big problem. I don't think people realize that. But Jesus didn't come just to make us better people. He came to change who we were completely, to make us new creatures.
Amen.
He came so we could be born again. The problem with the world and us in it before we accepted Jesus is that we were born into this world. Already, we got us a problem. Because the only way you can be born into this world is to be born through Adam or born into sin. So what's wrong with us and why we can't go to heaven is because we're not born heaven ready. We're born on our way to hell. That's where we were born. Because Adam sinned some 6,000 years ago, and everybody that's ever been born is born through Adam. And so the only way out of this dilemma is not being good. It's not change our ways. It's not being moral, being nice and kind. We should do all that as a Christian. But none of that's going to make us a Christian. The only way to fix this is to be born again. A different way, okay? Not the way we were, but a different way. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Nicodemus didn't catch it. He said, can a man be born a second time? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said to him in the 5th verse, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit. Now that's not water baptism. He's talking about natural birth. Born of water. You know, that's a natural birth, born of the water. When the water breaks, the baby comes out. You know the way it works. I mean, that's the way it happens. And he wasn't talking about two more births. Because actually, if he was talking about water baptism and the Spirit, then you had to be born again twice. No, he was talking about water, natural birth, and of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you're born in this earth first and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. Next verse, he clears it up. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's water. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Get it? Okay. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he's talking about two births, the first one being water or flesh, the second one being spirit. You know, the only way you can adapt to any kind of world or dimension is to be born into it or born from it, as it were. Adam was born from God, no question, when he originally was made. But Adam sinned, and when he sinned, he died. That's what the Scripture says. So he lost his connection with heaven. He lost his connection with God. From that point on, he was sinful. And he died. He was alive naturally in the flesh, and he was a part of this earth, and he lived 930 more years. But because of sin, he died. And so everybody that was born through him was born just like him. Because that's what the Bible says. You know, when God made everything, the first chapter is real plain. He made the trees to bear after their kind. He made the rabbits to bear after their kind. He made the fish to bear after their kind. The birds to bear after their kind. Everything bore after its kind. The plants bore after their kind. The trees bore after their kind. See, that's the problem with evolution. It's DNA. That's what's the problem with evolution. It's species don't change. I mean, they can change within themselves. So surely one type of bird can develop a longer beak because it's adapting to its environment or whatever. But horses don't become cows, and cows don't become dogs, and that's never happened. We've never seen that. It doesn't happen. And so because of the law of like kinds. And then when God made man, the Bible says he made man after his image, after his likeness, or after his kind. So we came from God. That's where we came from. And Adam was the son of God. That's what the genealogy in the book of Luke says. It says, was the son of Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. And so we know that. Adam was the father of all mankind. Everybody ever born in the earth was born through Adam. So if a cow comes along here and gives birth to all the cows that are ever going to be born into the earth, there's going to be a whole race of cows. That's just the way it is. It's the law of like kinds. It was established in the first chapter of Genesis. So Adam comes along and he sins. So what happens when Adam sins is that everybody was born in sin because of the law of like kinds. He cannot give birth to anybody righteous because he's in sin. He has sinned and he has fallen from God. That's why Jesus had to be born from heaven. There's only one person besides Adam that was ever born into this earth that came from another planet.
Amen.
And it wasn't a little green monster, and it wasn't a UFO. Are you with me? It was Jesus. And the reason he had to be from another place, heaven, from above, is what he says, is because if he was born from Adam or through Adam, he would have brought sin in just like Adam did, like everybody was ever born through Adam. Are you with me? So here's this dilemma. Everybody's born through Adam. Everybody's born in sin. And in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter tells us that. I believe it's the 22nd verse. It says, in Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. So that's what Jesus said. He said, you must be born again. You can't be good enough. You can't undo what Adam did in you because you are the problem. Not what you're doing, your nature is the problem. You know, when John, the Baptist, the first Baptist, John saw Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, it's interesting he didn't say sins of the world. Isn't that interesting he didn't say that? Because Jesus really didn't take away the sins of the world. What he took away was the sin of the world. The sin that was in all of us through Adam. The sin that condemned us. The sin that doomed us. The sin that was taking us to hell. And so Jesus came and took away the sin of the world. I love that. And you know, how could he do that? Because he didn't come from this world. Oh, he came through Mary, yeah, but his daddy was God. His daddy wasn't Adam. Wow, that's awesome stuff, isn't it? So when you use the term, you must be born again, well listen, there's a weight of teaching behind that. There is a weight of evidence in the Bible that testifies to that. That is the truth. You and I must be changed. We must be new creatures. We must be born from above to go to heaven because we are on our road to hell as long as we are without Jesus. Not because of what we're doing, but because of what Adam did. See, that's interesting. You say, well, that's just not fair that I'd go to hell because of Adam. Well, God knows that. He understands that. That's why he made a way for you to go to heaven.
That's right.
Because if you want to know the truth and you want to say, well, it's just not fair I'm going to hell. Well, it's not fair you get to go to heaven.
That's true.
But you get to if you choose to. And it is a choice, incidentally. There's a difference here. Maybe you don't choose to go to hell. It's just you're going there. But you choose to go to heaven. You do have to accept Jesus to go to heaven. It's offered to everybody, and everybody has the choice to go to heaven. But, you know, it's not really a choice between heaven and hell, really, because we're already going to hell. You don't have to choose anything. You'll go to hell. Does that make sense? The only choice we have is to choose to get out of it. To choose to be born again. That's the only choice we have, because we're not really choosing between the two. We're already on our way to hell. Just by virtue of being born in the world. And it has nothing to do with how good or bad you are. Because there's good people going to hell. There are moral people going to hell. People don't go to hell because of the sins they commit, no more than you go to heaven by the good deeds you commit. People go to hell because of being born into this earth, because we're in Adam. People go to heaven because they've been born again. Because we're in Christ. You know, I've said this over and over many times, over and over, that what divides us and separates us from the world, the dividing line between the church and the world, is not a moral line. It's not. We should be moral. I agree. We should live holy. You know I teach on that. Now, and we are a witness and we have an obligation. It's not about impressing anybody. It's about representing someone. We need to represent Jesus. But the difference between us and the world is not morality. The difference between us and the world is they are unbelievers and we are believers.
That's right. That is right.
That's what separates us. What separates us from God is unbelief. What joins us to God is belief. It's Amen. Faith in God. Hallelujah. That's what saves us, is we call on Jesus, we believe on Jesus, and you know what? We're born spiritually, supernaturally, from heaven. The second birth is by choice. Wow. I didn't have anything to do with the first one, but the second one, I have a choice. I call on Him, and I am born again. Hallelujah. And I must be born again. I have to be born again. If I'm not born again, if I'm not changed on the inside, if I don't become a child of God, I'm not going to heaven. I'm not heaven ready without the new birth.
That's right.
Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us. That's 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, the 50th verse tells us that. So let's read on a little further. Is this helping?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to put it together, maybe, you know, dovetail it and connect the dots, because a lot of the stuff you've heard, the scripture you've heard there and there, we're just trying to connect the dots. That's what we're doing here. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." He noticed that about Jesus. He saw the signs and the wonders. He recognized he was from God. But that wasn't good enough just to see that and recognize that. Nicodemus himself needed to be born again. See, that's what he was saying. You will never see the kingdom. You felt the effects of the wind, but you'll never see the kingdom until you are born again. Hallelujah. Man, that's good stuff. In fact, he goes on, notice this, in the 31st verse, "He who comes from above is above all. He is of the earth, is earthly, and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." I think that's interesting. He's saying that he came from heaven. And only if you're born from heaven will you go back to heaven.
That's
right. See, you have to have a heaven birth. We've had an earth birth, as it were. But we're not heaven ready. We got an earth suit. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But we've got to be born again to get the heaven suit. If you want to go out in deep ocean, you've got to have a scuba diving suit. If you want to go out in deep space, you've got to have a space suit. If you want to walk around here, you've got to have an earth suit. Even Jesus took on an earth suit when he came down here.
Amen.
But if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have a heaven suit. You're going to have an incorruptible, glorified, indestructible. Are you with me?
Yes.
Changed body. And the only people that have been born again get that. Actually, it's a suit that works in both worlds. I like that, because it will work in heaven and in the earth. That new suit, the new model we got coming, that resurrection body that's coming, you know, it'll work in both worlds.
Amen.
But if you went to heaven in this body, you wouldn't make it. You wouldn't make it in this body. Heaven's too real. It's too strong. It's too sharp. It's too concrete. It's too solid. It's too bright. It would just burn the flesh right off your body. You couldn't handle it. The grass would stick through you like knives. Rain would shoot through you like bullets. It's just too real. It's too solid, too real.
Amen.
When people in the earth got a glimpse of a glorified Jesus, they'd fall on the ground, the breath would leave their body, and they'd almost look like they were dead men. They'd fall like dead men is what it says. And Jesus would make them stand back up, you know. In His glory, you can't even look at. Moses couldn't even see God in His glory. He could only look at His backside.
Amen.
I mean, God had to tone Himself down to even talk to Moses, because Moses talked to Him face to face. But then Moses said, "I want to see you in your glory." And God says, "You can't see me in my glory face to face. Man, I'll burn your nose right off your face." Tell you what you do. You get in the cleft of this rock over here, and I will just pass by backwards, okay? You just see my backside. That's all you'll look at. And just seeing His backside when He came off that mountain, He had to put a veil over His face because the children of Israel couldn't even look at Moses. Because of the glory that was on Him. It was so strong they couldn't even look at Moses. And He just saw the backside of God.
Amen.
Woo! Powerful stuff. See, you're not heaven ready unless you're born from heaven. Unless you're born from above. You can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. That's what Jesus said, and that's what He meant. It makes perfect sense legally. In fact, I know I quoted it, but let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This helping you put the pieces together.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 15, notice what it says here in the... There's a whole passage of Scripture here I want to go to. Let's look at the 22nd verse I quoted it. As in Adam all die, okay, even so in Christ all should be made alive. Well, now we're all in Adam because we're all born through Adam. So we're all going to die. But in Christ, all are made alive. That's the new birth. That's being born a second time. That's having a second family, second daddy, as it were. I could read all that in context. Don't have time. Move on down to... talks about the resurrection. That's what this whole chapter is about. And he says in the 42nd verse, so also the resurrection of the dead is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, a human soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Last Adam being Jesus. He's the one that gave us life. See how we're associated with Adam through our natural birth? We're associated with Jesus through our spiritual birth. But you know, there's a world out there that's never been spiritually born again. There's a whole world out there that never has had a second birth. That's what Jesus is talking about. And they're doomed. In Adam all die. In Christ all are made alive. So it is written, 45th verse, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Good stuff. I want to read all that. But anyway, 50th verse. And now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Pure and simple. That's why you and I have to be born again. We must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, how does that happen? Well, obviously Jesus gave us the secret, the key in the third chapter, because that great verse, the 16th verse, he says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Obviously, that's the key to be born again. You accept Jesus, you believe on Jesus, and you miss hell, hallelujah. You do a detour, you change direction. Instead of on your way to hell, you're on your way to heaven now. Because you've been born for this. Heaven is our destiny. See, those words are tied together. It's not just our destination. It is our destiny. As we were going to hell in Adam, now we're born again, we are going to heaven. It is not only our destination, but it is our destiny. We're born for it. It is a matter of birth. Salvation by birth, that's what we're talking about. Not by works, obviously. It's by grace. It's personal. And it's by birth. You've got to be born again. Hey, turn over the scripture. We actually used this scripture once already in this series. The first chapter of John. Turn to John 1. Just to give you some ammo here on fighting the devil, and the devil comes and tries to tell you you're not saved, you're not going to heaven, and you're not good enough. Of course you're not good enough. Nobody's good enough. I never was good enough. I never thought I was good enough. Never going to be good enough. I've been saved because I've been born again.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I've been saved by grace. Hallelujah. I've been saved because I received my salvation. I made it personal. Now it says in the 11th, 12th verse, first chapter, we read this a couple weeks ago, he came to his own, Jesus, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, everybody say born. Okay. Born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In other words, they were born of God. Well, now, how were they born of God? To as many as received him, even to them that believe on his name, were born of God. So the way I'm born again, born of God, born from above, is to receive Jesus and to believe on His name. Pure and simple. Isn't that what it says? So now we know the why of it, and now we know the how. Isn't that good? Amen. I mean, I can understand in context just those things that we shared. If you just go through Genesis, the first chapter, about the law of like kinds, and the third chapter, Adam fell, and the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, and Adam all died, Christ all made alive. And then go back to that third chapter, that new birth, born again. That makes sense. Of course we have to be born again. That's got to be. There's only one way I can be saved is to be born again. I'll never be good enough. I'll never do enough good things. I'm going to have to change who I am. I'm born in sin. I'm on my way to hell. I've got to change who I am. How can I do that? Got to be born from above. How's a man born from above? Receive Jesus. Believe on Jesus. And you're born not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And notice the fifth chapter of 1 John. Turn to 1 John. Boy, this is good stuff. 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. Saved by birth. See, I was born into this. I was born for this. This is my destiny. Heaven is my destiny. Why? How did you earn it? I didn't earn it. I'm just part of the family of God. Amen. But God's my father now. I'm His child. I've been born into the family.
Yes.
Got a new birth certificate. I was born again in May of 1975.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. That would make me, what, 35 years old? Is that right? Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm really, seriously, I'm only 35 years old. Yeah. That's good. I like it.
Amen.
Like it. Okay. So it says here in the fifth chapter, 1 John, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the one prophesied to come, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
Woohoo!
Amen.
Y'all get that?
Yeah.
So how can I be born again? How can I be born of God? Well, over there in John 1st chapter, 12 and 13 verse tells us that if I receive Jesus, believe on Him, I'm born of God. Over here in 1 John 5th chapter, 1st verse says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him, who begat, loves Him also who is begotten of Him. If I love God, I love His people. Amen. I love His... By this you'll know you're the children of God, you have love one for another. That's what the Bible said. But it's very simple when you look at it. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't make it complicated. I think you can be too smart to get this, but you can't be too dumb to get it. Most people are way too smart to get it.
Amen.
Well, that can't be that simple. Well, how complicated do you want it? Do you want it so complicated that you've got to be a rocket scientist to get it? See, God made it available to everybody. And the thing that holds us back sometimes is not our ignorance, but our intelligence.
That's right.
We're just too smart. And God makes it real plain. Here He says, whoever believes. How about you? Do you believe Jesus is the Christ?
Yes.
Boy, I do. Well, now, whatever anybody says or whatever I think or anybody thinks, according to the Word, according to God's Word, if I believe this Word, if I take this as final authority, and I do, I believe this is the final Word on the matter. I believe it is, especially when you see it in context over and over and over. You notice when I teach on something, I'll bring you to several scriptures that say the same thing, so that you're not just stuck with one little bitty scripture out of context, but you see this is a truth that's over and over and over.
Amen.
If you put that in perspective, according to what God says, according to His Word, I don't know about CNN what they would say about this, okay? I don't know. They may have a different take on this. I don't know. I don't know what the Quran might say or about this, or the teachings of Buddha or the Analects of Confucius or the Bhagavad Gita of the Hindus. I don't know about all that. I do know what they say about this, and they don't say this. But I know what this says. Are you with me?
Amen.
And if I believe the Bible, and I do, then I am born again. I am born of God because I do believe Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
And if I ever waver on there and wonder about that, all I got to do is open this back up. It has not changed. It still says that. It says it here. It says it over in John 1:11 and 12. Jesus talks about that new birth in John, the third chapter, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth verses. Woo! Man, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ.
Thank you.
I love that. Because what's happened now is I'm a new creature. I may not look any different on the outside. This outward man may be perishing. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Goes on down that 18th verse and he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, this body, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal or temporary. The things which are not seen, they are eternal. And he goes right on in that fifth chapter, right from that same thought in that 18th verse, fourth chapter and the fifth chapter, and he says, if this tabernacle were dissolved, we know that we have a home in heaven.
Amen.
Woo! And that's where he goes on and says, in the eighth verse, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The seventh verse, we got it on our banner up here, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
I love that. I'm a new person. I'm a new man. You're a new woman, a new man. You're born again. Something's happened on the inside of you. You've been born from heaven, and that's why you're saved. That's why you're going to heaven. You're only going to go to heaven by birth. You know that rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what might I do that I might inherit eternal life? I always thought that was a strange question to ask. And Jesus said, well, you kept the commandments. And he said, well, yeah, I hadn't committed adultery. I've honored my fathers. I've done this, done that. He said, well, okay, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you got, give the poor, come follow me, and you'll have great riches in heaven. Actually, Jesus didn't tell him how to be saved because you can't get saved by selling everything you got. But following Jesus, you'd be saved. That would work, you know. But even the question was kind of strange because what can you do to inherit anything? You got to be in the will.
That's right.
To inherit anything. Well, how am I going to get in somebody's will? I can tell you what usually works, how it usually works in a will. You generally have to be in their family.
That's right.
To be in the will. That really was an accurate question. It just made no sense, him asking what to do to inherit. Actually, you can't do anything to inherit anything. You just have to be in the will. So who inherits eternal life? The children of God.
Amen.
The family of God. They're in the will. You can become a part of the family. You can be born again. Now you can inherit because you're in the will. But there's nothing you can do to get in it. You can't be good enough. You can't buy your way into it. You got to be born again. You got to be born into this thing. God has to be more than your God, your creator, the good man, the good Lord, the one upstairs. This has to be more than the good book. God has to be your father. And you have to be his child. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Bible says that you're born of God, and everyone who loves him who begat loves him also who is begotten of him. Let's go down to fourth verse. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. I love that. We overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. We overcome hell. We overcome the second death. By what? By birth. Well, I thought there was some deep secret here about how I overcome hell. Do this, do that, three steps, seven steps, something. What is it? You are born of God. That's how you overcome. I've been born of God, so I have overcome hell.
Yes.
By virtue of birth. Salvation is a matter of birth. It's not a matter of deeds. It's not a matter of action. It's not a matter of morality. Although that has its place in being a witness and obeying the gospel and all these things as children of God. My children can be good or bad, but they're my children by birth. Sometimes they're very, very good. Sometimes they're not. But we don't jump in and out of being my children. The worst I ever done is they become her children for a short time. Are you going to do something about your daughter? You know? But no, they're still our children because they were born that way.
That's right.
Woo! Okay. Now they can get out of favor, don't get me wrong. And we can get out of favor. But I've been born into this family. I've been born into the kingdom of God. Praise God. And he says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, our faith, our faith, our faith, our faith. Not our works, our faith, our trust, our belief. My faith. Next verse says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? All you got to do is put all that together. The only people who overcome the world are people that are born of God. The only people that overcome the world are people that believe Jesus is the Son of God. So believing Jesus is the Son of God is how you are born of God. Isn't that right? And our faith in Jesus as the Son of God caused us to be born of God and caused us to be overcome the world. Woo! Man, I love it. I'm a world overcomer by virtue of birth. I got royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm a thoroughbred born to win this race. Amen? Ever since I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, my salvation is a matter of birth. Well, I may be in this world, but I'm not of it. I am from above. And so I need not be conformed to this world. But I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I might prove what is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. I don't need to be hating like everybody else, getting revenge like everybody else, hold bitterness like everybody else, because I'm not everybody else. I'm a child of God. Yes. I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to forgive. I'm supposed to pray for people. And see, I have to watch not being conformed to the world. I have to renew my mind to find out who I am. Yeah. Look at my family record here. Amen? Find out what I'm supposed to do as a Christian, as a new believer, as a new creation. Hallelujah. Because that's why I'm going to heaven. Because of my birth. And God is my daddy. And I sleep good at night. And I don't sleep in fear. And I have confidence. I have confidence. Let's look at one more verse. Let's close that. We're right here in 1 John 5. I quoted this. But notice this in the 11th. Goodness gracious. 10th.
36.
Yeah. Genesis 1. 11th verse. We'll start there. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life.
Amen.
He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Next verse. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may hope one day. What? It doesn't say that? Okay. Well, okay. That you would have a shot at this. What?
No.
That your name would be thrown into the lottery. No. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Man, what a powerful verse. You know, if anybody tells me, well, you know, we just don't know. We just don't know. I always pull that. I love that verse. I said, well, He wrote this so we would know.
That's right.
I mean, that's a terrible thing. He wrote all this and you never got it. I mean, really, that's what you could say to somebody. You mean John wrote all this for nothing and you missed it? He did this in vain? A total waste, because that's the only reason He wrote it. So we would know, and now you're saying you don't know? Well, that's the whole purpose of Him writing this. It's so that you would know that you have eternal life. And not live in fear and wondering and doubt about it, but have some confidence about you. Have some faith about you. Have some courage about you. See, we can face the future with courage and with faith. We can stand, listen, I can stand in front of a casket. I've preached many a funeral. Stand, knowing that that person is not in that casket. They are in heaven because they knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I can with confidence tell that family, you're going to see them again if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That this person right here is not right here. They're in heaven and they're okay. They're better than we are. They're doing much better than we are. And if you've lost a loved one, as it were, and we use that term lost, you haven't lost them. We know where they are. I know exactly where they are. And they're doing so. If you're going to cry, cry for you because you're still here. They're in heaven. And that's the reality of what God says. That's the hope that we have and the confidence that we have and the courage that we have and the faith that we have. Praise God, I've been born again.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you? I know everybody here has. I mean, I'm talking to, preaching to the choir here. Hallelujah. Well, we're saved, of course, making it personal. We talked about that about 3 weeks ago. You got to make it personal. You got to connect with this. Amen. You got to do what it said. You got to confess Jesus, believe on Jesus, and then go the next step and say, I will not perish. I have eternal life. And then you have to realize you're saved by grace. There's no good things you can do to get it. And then, of course, tonight we just centered in, looked at another angle. We're saved by birth. I've been born again. Now, that's a done deal. That's not something I'm working on. Mm-mm. I'm working out my salvation, but I'm not working on my salvation. Yeah. The Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means it's in you. Get it out of you and start living it. But you can't work on it because you can't add anything to it.
That's right.
Jesus and arithmetic don't work. Jesus plus anything doesn't work. Woo! That help you?